Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
And I ever could tell. Amen. Let's take our Bible, go with me to the book of Jonah today. The book of Jonah, and we'll look at a little thought out of here today. One of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. If you'll go almost to the end of the Old Testament, you'll find the little book of Jonah, just four short chapters, and there's a lot of major things in the minor prophets, amen? And you don't hear much out of the minor prophets, you don't hear a lot of preaching out of them, but I sure do love studying the minor prophets, amen? Jonah chapter number one. Again, don't forget service this afternoon. And, man, I'm looking forward to what the Lord has for us. Amen. And you make sure you're faithful. Jonah chapter number one. It's good to be in church this morning. Can I get an amen right there? And thank God for this joy to be in His house. Let's stand in honor, in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Jonah chapter number one today. I'll read just a few verses to you and give you a little thought, and then we'll go to the house. Verse number one of Jonah chapter number one said this: Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Note with me again verse number 3, But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I want to preach on this thought for just a little while today. The refusal of Jonah. The refusal of Jonah. Father, I love you today, and what a joy it is to be able to call on your name. God, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer today. Thank you, God, for the day that you saved me, and then, God, after you saved me, God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for access to the throne room this morning. God, I'm glad that I'm able to talk directly to you today. I'm glad that I don't have to go through nobody else. I'm glad that because of the blood atonement to my life, I have direct access into the throne room this morning. God, I pray that over the next little bit, you'd help us recall the things in which we've studied, God, and I pray that you'd preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. There's nothing that I can say or nothing that I can do within myself to help anybody today. So, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd preach through us this morning. Save that sinner closest to hell, that one that's backslidden. I pray, God, that you'd bring them close to you again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Again, I want to look into this and talk to you a little while about the refusal of Jonah today. When you study the Word of God, I've already made mention of this, but Jonah is considered one of the minor prophets in our Bible today. Matter of fact, whenever you study the Word of God, and if you want to look at it this way, you study historians, and if you want to say it even this way, people that want to attack the Word of God, the book of Jonah is one of the most questioned books in the Bible. Did it really happen? Is it really true? Did it really take place? And can I just say this? I'm going to say more about that in just a sec. But yes, it did. That's the short answer to that. It's in the Bible. It happened. Can I get an amen right there? Here are a few things to take into consideration when reading the book of Jonah. Known cities are mentioned in this little book. There's the city of Nineveh, Tarshish, and Joppa. Jonah was a real prophet who lived during the reign of a real king, Jeroboam II. We read that in 2 Kings chapter number 14. Jesus himself recognized the existence and the incidents in the book of Jonah. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 12. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, which is Jonah. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. So whenever we study the Bible, we know that Jonah is true, because Jesus Christ himself refers back to the book of Jonah. Whenever you study the book of Jonah, you find that it sets forth the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the center of the earth. Can I just say this to you? Another question that arises is, did Jonah really die? Can I just say this to you today? Did Jesus really die? Because he said this, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights, so shall I be. So yes, without a doubt, Jonah died in the belly of the whale. The moment a person questions the historical record of the book of Jonah, he questions the credibility of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So, preacher, what is your thoughts on Jonah? Yes, it's a real book. Yes, he was a real prophet. Yes, he died a real death. And yes, he lived again. It is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you study the book of Jonah, you'll find that the main character in the book of Jonah is not him, but the main character is the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord himself speaking. The Lord commenced the talking in chapter number 1, and the Lord has the last word in chapter number 4. He commanded Jonah twice. He commissioned a violent storm on the sea. He credited a great fish to rescue Jonah, or created. He commanded the fish to vomit Jonah up onto dry land. He cautioned Nineveh with judgment. He cooled the prophet with a shade of a plan. The Lord commissioned a worm to destroy the plan. And then comfort was removed by a scourging wind. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying the Lord is all through the book of Jonah, and he is the key person in it. Note this, there's 4 chapters. I'll preach in just a minute. Stay with me. There's 4 chapters. Chapter number 1, he's running from God in punishment. In chapter number 2, he's running to God in prayer. But when you come to chapter number 3, he's running for God in preaching. In chapter number 4, he's running ahead of God in protesting. To me, I love chapter number 3. It's one of my favorites. You find Jonah is running with God in preaching. Can I just say this in passing? We've probably all lived in chapter number 1 where we was disobedient to God. But aren't you thankful for chapter number 2, when the word of the Lord comes unto us again and God speaks to us? And then in chapter number 3, God allows us to do something for him. In chapter number 3, there is a crying missionary in verse number 1 through 4. I thought about this, what the Bible said in Romans chapter number 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boy, isn't that a good verse today? Aren't you thankful for the day that your life fell into that verse, when you realized you was lost and on the road to hell, and Jesus came by your way through the work of the Holy Ghost of God and saved your hell-deserving soul? For whosoever, you know what that word whosoever means? It means whosoever. It means everybody. It means all y'all. It means we can all get in. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he didn't stop right right there. He said this, "How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without what? Without a preacher." God still uses the foolishness of preaching today. That's what God used to bring repentance to the city of Nineveh, and that's what God will use in our present day. It is the crying of a missionary. It is the crying of a preacher. He said, "Hey, listen, judgment is coming." Chapter number 3, there's the crying of a missionary, but there's the confessing multitude in verse 5 through 9 in chapter number 3. And then thank God in verse number 10 of chapter number 3, there is a compassionate master. Hey, God sees their repentance, and God decides not to judge Nineveh. Well, here's what I want to call your attention to today, though, chapter number 1, verse 3. You say, "Well, what was all that other?" I just wanted to give it to you because I liked it studying. That's some of the book of Jonah. That's what it's dealing with. But in chapter number 1, God comes to Jonah and he's got a word for him. And can I say this? God's got a word for you too. God's got a word for everybody here today. He comes to him and the word of the Lord coming to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh." God says, "Hey, Jonah, I've got a plan for your life. I've got something I want you to do. I'm interested in you." Matter of fact, our Sunday school teacher here in the adult class was teaching this morning, and I thought, man, he has no clue what I'm fixing to preach. God has a plan for your life. Can I just say something to you today? You're not here by accident. And there's not many people just accidentally drives by Amazing Grace Baptist Church. If you accidentally drive by here, you lost, Hoss. All right? But you're not here by accident today. God wanted you to be here today. You say, "No, I'm here because I chose to come here." Why did you choose to come here? Because God nudged you to come here. Can I just say it that way? But can I take it another step? Your life is not here by accident. Don't fall out with me. I don't care what your mom and daddy says. It's not an accident that you're here. You with me today? God allowed you to be born. God allowed you to be here. God allowed you to live in America. God allows you to hold a Bible in your hand. God allowed you to come to the house of God today. God has something for your life. You say, "Well, preacher, I feel like I've messed my life up and I'm at the bottom of the barrel, and how could God ever use me? How could God ever do anything with me? God doesn't have nothing for me." If God didn't have a plan for your life, you wouldn't be alive today. He would take you off of this earth. But he's got a plan for your life. He's got a word for you. He wants to use you. He wants to mold you into what he wants you to be and use your life. It's up to you to let him do it, though. It's up to you. Man, God's got a plan for Jonah. God's going to let Jonah go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. But you know what Jonah did? He said, "No thanks, Lord, I'm not interested in that." You said, "Well, preacher, you just said chapter number 3, you went preaching and God turns the whole nation back." Yeah, but there's a chapter 1 and a chapter 2 before you get to chapter 3. Jonah initially runs from the presence of God. Now, I want you to understand something, and I'm going to give you 3 little thoughts, and we're going to go home. I want you to understand something. God is omnipresent. Somebody give me a witness right there. In other words, God's everywhere at the same time, and at the same time, he's everywhere. You can't get away from the omnipresence of God. So when he said that he fled from the presence of God, it wasn't that he left his omnipresence. It was that he left the will of God and the working of God and the power of God in his life. Have you ever, some will understand what I'm fixing to say. I know some won't, but some will. Has God ever nudged you to do something? Brother Stan was teaching Sunday school this morning, and he was talking about he went to the car wash, not the car wash, the gas station. Went to the gas station yesterday, and at the gas station, there was a man standing there pumping gas. That's usually what you do at the gas station, unless you like Brother Elijah, Miss Maddie, and that's where you eat supper at on Sunday evenings or Wednesday evenings after service and after revival. They go to Sheets and get cheese bites. If I went to Sheets and got cheese bites at any time of the day, but especially at 10 o'clock at night, man, anyway, watch this. And he said he looked over there at that guy and thought, well, you know what I can do? I can give him a gospel tract. Brother Stan said he went over there and handed him a gospel. In other words, the Lord nudged him. Have you ever been talking to somebody and there was something inside of you said, hey, you need to invite them to church? Are you with me right there? And you didn't. And when you walked off, it's kind of like your wife was mad at you. Y'all ever been there before? Or your husband was mad at you. It seemed that there was a coldness. Y'all with me? Let me tell you what happened. Understand what I'm fixing. The omnipresence of God was there, but you walked away from the presence of God. I hope you understand what I'm saying. God had a plan for Jonah, and Jonah went away from that plan in his life. He refused to do what God said, the refusal of Jonah. Now, I want to say this to you this morning. When I get to my message, I don't have much in it, okay? I want to say this to you this morning. There's some things that we know is the will of God. Some things we don't have to pray about. Number one, salvation. We know it's the will of God to be saved. If you're sitting here lost today, you've never been saved. By the grace of God, you don't have to pray, Lord, do you want me to get saved? Number one, you praying, Lord, do you want me to get saved? He's not going to hear it. He never hears the prayer of a lost man unless it's the prayer of repentance. Can I just give you some Bible? If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer. In other words, if there's sin in my life, God's not going to hear me. And if you're a lost man, the only way you get sin out of your life is asking God to forgive you and come into your heart. We know it's the will of God to be saved. We know it's the will of God to go to church, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together with believers. Can I get an amen right there? We know it's the will of God to pray. Pray without ceasing. We know it's the will of God to praise the Lord. Rejoice evermore. We know some things, but there is also specific things that God has for you that He has for nobody else. Can I just say this to you today? Not everybody in this room will be called to preach. You say, why? Because not everybody meets the qualifications for it. Number one, they're to be the husband of one wife. So that automatically takes out, I'm not male chauvinist, okay? I got a wife, I got three daughters, I got four nanny goats, and two female dogs at the house, okay? I'm not, my mama's here this morning. I got a sister. But that, you're out, women. I'm sorry, you can't preach. You don't preach to your husband at home. I've always said the greatest preacher in my family was my mama. That's okay. Not everybody is going to be called to preach. I'm going to ask you a question if you're sitting here this morning and you do meet the qualifications. Is God calling? Is God calling? And I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. To make sure of the will of God is one thing. To refuse the will of God is another thing. To refuse, I'm not going to do this. Let's look at the refusal of Jonah. Three simple things. Number one this morning, he fled from the presence of the Lord. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish. Number one this morning, I want you to see this. The causes were many. The cause, why did Jonah do this? Why did Jonah leave the presence of God? Why did Jonah refuse to do what God wanted him to do? Can I say it real simple and give you one simple thing and move on? Here's the reason he refused to do it. He didn't want Nineveh to have revival. Boy, it got quiet right there. He didn't want Nineveh to have revival. When you study it out, Jonah was not interested in Nineveh being saved. Chapter 4, verse 1, look what your Bible said. Chapter 4, Jonah, verse number 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Very angry at what? At God sending revival to Nineveh. Look in verse number 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He said, God, I knew you was a gracious God. I knew you was a holy God. I knew you could save Nineveh. Time would not permit us to go home and study the history of Nineveh, study who they was, study what they done to missionaries, study their lifestyle. And you know what Jonah says? Jonah says, God, I knew you could do it. I knew you could send revival to them. And that's one of the reasons I fled from it. Now, you know what we do? Well, I can't believe Jonah. He would. Can you believe that? That Jonah wouldn't want to tell somebody about the Lord. That Jonah wouldn't want somebody to be saved. That Jonah wouldn't want... Time out. What's the first thought that goes through your mind when somebody messes with your kids? Hello. You say, what's the first thought that goes through yours? You don't want to know. Let me tell you the reason why, because we're all flesh. And we can sit back and say, well, I would never be like Jonah. I would never refuse to do what God says do. But God may send you to talk to somebody that you don't want to go talk to, and you know what you do? You refuse to do the very thing that God told you to do. I remember the first time on death row when I was a Rock of Ages Prison Ministries. We went through 97 and a half doors to get in there to it. And I was absolutely scared to death. And you know what? Here's exactly what I had to pray. Now somebody give me a witness right here. God, help me to see souls. Because it's not about what they've done. It's not about the life that they lived. It's not about the child that they may have molested or abused or killed. At the end of the day, they've got a soul, and Jesus died for them. That's good preaching and hard living. But I'm being honest with you. The refusal of Jonah, he said, man, I'm not going down there. I'm not going. The causes were many. But watch this. Not only was the causes many, and here's really where I want to spend just a little bit of time. It's 11:46. The course was downward. You see, anytime you say no to whatever it is that God wants you to do, the course will always be downward. Know what the Bible said. But Jonah rose up, verse number 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and what's the next two words? Somebody help me. Went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into the ship to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. When you get to verse number 5, he goes down into the sides of the ship. When you get on into chapter number 1, he goes down into the sea. He goes down into the fish. He goes down to the bottom of the sea. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Anytime we go away from God and the things that God wants us to do, no matter what the cause may be, the chorus is always a downward chorus. As we journey away from God is a downward journey. I thought about this. Downward is always easy, but it's also always hard. It's easy because there's no self-effort required in going down. But it's hard because there is always consequences that follows our choice to go down. I remember what the great preacher of days gone by, Dr. Percy Ray, used to say. God will not make you live for him, but he will make you wish you had him. God will not make you live for him, but he'll make you wish you had him. Here's Jonah, man. He's got a place. He's got a plan. God's got something for his life. He's got the power of God resting on him, evidently, because God's going to send him to Nineveh as a missionary and use him in a great way. But Jonah chooses, whatever the cause may have been, to take a course downward. And in doing that, as he goes down that way, we can look at his life and over and over and over again, he messes up. The course is always downward. Notice how things seem to work for Jonah. Watch this. He had the money to pay the fare. Are you with me? There was a ship waiting on him to take him there. He seemed to be at peace because he was able to get on the boat, to go down in the sides of the boat, and to go to sleep while he was in the boat. So evidently, Jonah was at a quote-unquote peace of what he was doing in his life. You see, Satan is a mastermind. Satan is a mastermind at making you leave the presence of God convenient. He had a boat sitting there waiting on him. He had the money in his pocket to pay. And what did he really pay? I'll say more about that in just a minute. You say, preacher, what are you saying to me this morning? I'm saying this. When God's got a plan for your life, there'll always be causes that you try to give and as an excuse. Moses, this morning, Moses said, I can't do that. And I'm not quoting it verbatim. I've got a speech impediment. I can't do that. I'm not well with words. Who am I going to say sent me if I do go over there and say something? There's always an excuse. The devil, is anybody hearing a preacher this morning? The devil will always give you an excuse not to do what God has for you to do. But when you listen to him, I promise you, you are starting on a downward trend in the wrong direction. A downward trend. Number 3, I'm done. The causes were many. The course was downward. But number 3 this morning, the consequences were tragic. The consequences were tragic. Compare the words "but Jonah" in verse number 3 to "but the Lord" in verse number 4. This pattern is found throughout the book. Watch this. Jonah rose up to flee, but the Lord sent a great wind. Jonah was cast into the sea, but the Lord prepared a great fish. Jonah prayed out of the fish's belly, but the Lord caused the fish to vomit out Jonah. Jonah preached in Nineveh, but the Lord caused them to repent. Jonah sat down to see what would become of the city, but God prepared a great shade for Jonah. Jonah was glad for the gourd, but God prepared a worm to kill the gourd. Jonah had pity on the gourd, but God had pity on Nineveh. You see, it's a contrast there. And the consequences in Jonah's life were tragic. You ever talk to somebody and I can't go into all of it, but a few weeks ago, I was with our narcotics division at the sheriff's office. And we pulled up at this place after everything had already happened. And this individual got in the vehicle that I was in with one of the UCs, and we started back to the jail. And the individual, the UC that I was with, looked back at him and said, "Hey, you need to talk to this guy with me." And she said, "Well, who is he?" And the UC said, "This is our chaplain. We call him our pastor here." And said, "He's a good guy. He loves the Lord. He can help you get your life straightened out if you'll listen to what he's going to tell you." And you say, "What'd you do?" "What do you think I did?" "I told him about Jesus." And you know what the common denominator is, Brother Jonathan? You've been in those situations. The common denominator every time is this: I didn't mean for it to go this far. I didn't think I would be right here. I didn't think, Brother Brian, how many times is it, nurse, when you were still on the floor, did you walk into a room in the ED, somebody that had overdosed, and they said, "I never dreamed that it would go this far." You know what I really think? You know what I really think? I really think Jonah was just going to get on a boat and ride to Tarshish and get off and live his life. Jonah didn't mean, I hope somebody hear me preach for just a minute. Jonah didn't mean for everybody on the boat to be in danger. I don't believe he did. I don't believe that Jonah got on that boat with a whole mindset of, "I'm going to put everybody's life in danger on this boat. Everybody in this boat may die because I'm on it." I don't think Jonah meant for that to happen. I really think, now I might be wrong, you may have another translation of this, and if you do, share it with me after service, okay? But I really don't think he did. I think Jonah thought, "Man, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not doing that. I'm just going to go live my life. I'm going to go do my thing." But if you're a child of God, it's not your life to live. I'm not mine no more. Miss Tanya, come start playing softly. The Bible says that I'm bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in my body. This is not mine. My body is not mine today. It's the Lord's. He bought me. I was on the auction block of sin, man. My life was messed up. I was headed to hell. And Jesus said, "I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to give my life. I'll rescue him." And ever since that day, I've been his. So what I do with myself is not my choice. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It's not my life to live. Hear me. It's not my life to live. It's not your life to live. "Well, preacher, I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this." And Miss Leslie and I was talking the past couple of days about some things that we want to do when we get old one day. And it'll be 40 years before we get old. Man, we're young, but some things that we'd like to do, Brother Brian. And you know what? The truth of the matter is this. Brother Randy, it's not mine. It's not mine. It's not mine. It's his life that I'm living. And I really think that Jonah, I really think he didn't mean to put everybody in danger, but he did. The consequences, well, his partnership with the Lord was broken. And can I just say this to you? My relationship with Him is the most important thing in this world. What about this? His peace with God was robbed because of his rebellion. What about this? His power of influence with the men that was on that ship was taken away. His possibilities or opportunities to serve the Lord could have been lost because he could have died and God not allowed him to go to Nineveh. What about this? The prize or some of his rewards from the Lord was definitely lost. What about this one? The consequences is 3 days before he got there. Are you with me? God calls him, he flees, and it's 3 days before he gets there. There's a 3-day gap there in Nineveh that God wanted somebody to be preaching. But he was running away from God instead of with God. When you study the size of Nineveh and the population of Nineveh at that time, there's no doubt people died in those 3 days. People died. The people of Nineveh, some of them died and went to a devil's hell. Why? Because Jonah's going another direction. Now, I'm going to say something. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm just preaching this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. If God's calling you to preach and he's been fingering around in your heart to do something for him and you keep messing around running a different direction, well, I just want to make sure. That's okay to say one time, but to continually do that, there are souls that's dying and going to a devil's hell that you could be reaching. The consequences of it. I read this verse this morning and I like it. 2 John verse number 8, of course there's just one chapter, said this. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Did you get those last two words? A full reward. You know what I'm interested in getting in heaven? A full reward. Not just part of it. Not just a little bit of it. I don't want to just finish. And can I say this? I'm going to finish. It's appointed unto man once to die. We're going to finish this race one day. I don't want to just finish. I want to finish well. I want to die serving the Lord. I want when people walk by my coffin one day and look at the picture on the outside of it, because I told them if they opened me, I'd come back to haunt them. And look at, well, preacher, I want to see you. Don't they look so? No, they're dead. I'm never. Okay, I'm just being honest. I'm off track right now. Brother Stan, I'll get back the message. I've never seen no dead person look good. So don't walk by. Look at a picture of me and go, boy, he looks good in that picture, don't he? That's before I was dead. You with me? When they walk by, I done picked the picture out to go there. And they look at the picture. I hope they don't have to tomorrow, though. But they look at the picture. I want them to be able to say this. He finished right. Brother Elijah, he finished right. He never wavered on sound doctrine. He never went a different way. He gave his life to the cause of Christ. What are you refusing this morning? What are you saying no to today? What rewards are you losing in heaven as I'm preaching because you're rejecting to do the perfect will of God for your life? The consequences? Well, it wasn't just Jonah that was in danger. It's everybody around.